Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok for another edition of Star Wars Ranked, and today we welcome back Joseph Scrimshaw. Welcome in, my friend.
I am happy to be here in the cockpit, or whatever other imaginary space you want it to be.
We got a great question on our Discord server from a couple folks. Now that we've split the main show into news and main topic, they're like, which one is the superstar destroyer of the fleet? Well, we're gonna think about it. We're going to answer. This over here is the, this is the skiff of the fleet here. Star Wars Ranked is our show where we have a topic. And me, or me to guess, rank that topic 5-1. And today, Joseph, this was suggested by you because, hot damn, you actually remember to look at calendars.
Every once in a while, and I'll peek behind the curtain. I was sitting down to write you an email and say, hey, you know what? For the next kind of deep dive main show, maybe we should talk about Father's. Oh, that would be after Father's Day. Hey, wait. Let's talk about fathers on Star Wars ranked. It's a great thing to rank fathers in Star Wars.
Fatherhood in Star Wars. This is on being released on Father's Day. And without a doubt, Star Wars has a lot of themes in it, Joseph, fathers and sons and daughters. It's pretty powerful. It's pretty clear and pretty much all the way through it there. We've talked about how, hey, there's definitely some great mother moments and we want more of those, but father and son and father and daughter, pretty big in Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. When one of your most famous lines in entire 12 theatrically released movies is, "No, I am your father," I feel like father issues are pretty present.
Pretty big indeed. It's part of the myth story, I suppose. And we're going to be diving into the best moments in the best fatherhood moments in Star Wars. This will be from modern canon. We'll go outside the films, and we will have some fun. We got a great list here. Some big moments you'd expect, and some maybe a little bit off the beaten path, which is part of the fun of Star Wars ranked. Just before even revealing your list. How did you go about making your list? Like when you thought about this, where did your mind go to first? Just the movies, the big moments, the characters? How did you put it together?
I think it really went to moments. I wasn't thinking of this list as like, who are the best fathers? Because there are a lot of quite troubled to not very good fathers. There are a lot of great father relationships that are not biological. So my mind went to that. But I think the main thing is it just... moments that popped to me where either like in a story that has complex relationships between father and children, moments that are like heartwarming to me, or sometimes moments that just felt like that's a very real moment between a father and a child, or a couple of moments that are like, that's a time when somebody finally just deserves a space Father's Day card because they did it right for once.
A space Father's Day card, indeed. Pair it with your life day card. And you talked about the found family idea, which is also pretty big in Star Wars. And I'd even say one of the dominant themes of the sequel trilogy era. And that comes through in a lot of areas of Star Wars, moments of Star Wars, and might show up here on our list. That's, I think, also fair to say, Joseph, that's why I asked the question of where you went. Like, we wanted to look at as much as the big picture as we could.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, so we are going to begin our list 5-1, beginning with your number 5.
My number 5, we start off right away with what I think is one of the best fathers in Star Wars, and not a biological relationship, but a story of found family, a story of adoption, and that is Bail Organa. Now, if we were just listing fathers, I might put him as, one of the number one dads in Star Wars. Yeah. But the moment that popped out to me, like as soon as I thought about it, it's like, oh, of course, Bail's got to be on this list. But the moment that popped for me is in Rogue One, which could come off as a little like wink, wink, nod, nod, where Mon Mothma and Bail discuss, hey, maybe you should contact your Jedi friend. He's like, I'll get on it. I have somebody to do that. Needs to be somebody trustworthy. And just the sort of the bounce in his step and the glee when he says, I would trust her with my life. And what could have been a moment that was like, oh, wow, that's the moment he's sending Leia on the mission and A New Hope and all that. It definitely does have that, and there's definitely some fun hearing that. But just in terms of a fatherhood moment, just the amount of pride in his voice that hints at this relationship with his daughter, that he's raised under difficult circumstances. You know, obviously he and Brea love her very much. They want to adopt a daughter. That gets fleshed out a bunch in books. But they know that we need to be careful that nobody discovers her relationship to Anakin. Then she ends up being raised to be a leader under all of these trials and then under this crushing tyranny of the Empire. And yet through all of that, when Bail says, I need somebody to be sent on an incredibly sensitive, incredibly dangerous mission, I have exactly the person, and I trust her with everything I have, everything I believe in, and it's my daughter. What a beautiful father moment.
I'm so glad you brought this one up. It's one that had popped into my mind as well. And I've just been recently watching the scene, and I love the context you're putting it in. Yeah, it is. It is. There's some fun, wink, wink, which, by the way, Star Wars is allowed to have fun and wink, wink every now and then. I think Jimmy Smits does such a great job here. It was so great to have him come back and continue to play this character, I think, number one. But yeah, it's a great read. It's a great moment because, like you said, faced up against everything. This isn't just that thing we saw in New Hope. Think of it in terms of the story, everything going on. And it's his like 18, 19 year old daughter. And he's like, yeah, she's got this. And I believe in her. And you can tell where that, how that belief and that faith in her from Bail and Breha, you know, drives that character forward into all the adventures that we're familiar with. So it's an important moment.
Yeah, yeah. And that conversation between Mon Mothma and Bail is after that disastrous meeting where they're both like, yeah, we know Nora Jabel is a coward, but war is inevitable. It's going to happen. And to say, you know, it's horrible. It's difficult that we're in this situation, but, you know, I trust my daughter and she's going to fight with us is great.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. Great way to kick off the list. A deep and powerful moment at number five, which means we go to my number five. And well, I don't know if this is a deep and powerful moment, but I just kept coming back to this one. And I want to acknowledge that this is technically, I believe, a shared moment, a shared victory for parents, for in this case, mother and father of Rey. I am submitting to you all, Chad Palpatine becomes no one. And until we find out his official name, Shive Palpatine, I don't know. I really went to Rey's parents, and the idea that we now know of, yeah, they were no one. That was true because they chose to be, as Kylo Ren tells Rey. But when you really think of it in context as a story, imagine you're tooling around the galaxy, and then, you know, like Rey a few years later there now, you discover, wait, my father is actually kind of me. I'm kind of a clone that just kind of didn't work out the way it was planned. And I was cast adrift into the galaxy. No powers, no anything. But my quote unquote father is the evilest creature in the known galaxy. And to stand up against that for the sake of his daughter, to knowing that the Sith cult and the Sith extremists are out there, and knowing that he tried his best to just live a normal life, and until it was not possible, they made a big sacrifice for the good of their daughter. And I'm gonna in my mind think, you know what? Much like, you know, I'll draw a little bit to what you're talking about with Bail and Leia, cast that moment against the big backdrop of the Galactic Civil War, of everything we know and the battle between good and evil, standing up to his own name, his own legacy, is something that we know once Rey connected with that, it inspired her in the final moments. And she pushed against this idea that they were failures or no ones, or failed her, that no, they had the strength to be no one, to choose to do that against that name, against that legacy. And I'm going to do that here now. I'm going to say it's a good father moment.
I think that is a surprising but great one. I did not expect Chad or Shive Palpatine or whatever his name eventually will be, Tad. But it's a great choice. That is a great choice because I think a lot of times what you're looking for in good parent moments is how did their actions ultimately affect their child? And Rey spends so long thinking that she's been abandoned. And then the way I interpret those quick flashes in Rise of Skywalker, I don't think this was a long-term plan where they're like, we've been aware for 6 months that we need to put our daughter somewhere. I think they realize Ochi of Bastoon is on their tail and they have to make a fast choice. And it is a selfless one, right? Because I think a good parent like Chad Palpatine would want to stay with their daughter. And I think he needs to make that hard choice in the moment for her, and to have Rey have that sort of time bomb of an emotional gift that eventually goes off of, I wasn't abandoned. He, you know, did something incredibly difficult, and so did my mother to protect me. And then, as you said, find inspiration in that. That's a good father moment.
Yeah, It's that emotional canon connection, even within one movie or a series of movies. So here's to you, Chad Palpatine. Nation turns its lonely eyes to you. That's my number five, which means we're up to your number four.
My number four. I will eventually get to biological fathers, but right now I have one of the more, I think, challenging relationships in Star Wars, because it's a question of what is the relationship? And this is, shocker, an Obi-Wan Kenobi moment. Yes, I'm going to call Obi-Wan Kenobi a father. It's part of what I love about this moment is, as Dave Filoni talked about in his spiel during the Legacy episode of Disney Gallery Mandalorian, Qui-Gon and Anakin can pretty quickly fit into a father-son dynamic. We even see Qui-Gon give some fatherly advice to Anakin before the pod race of, you know, don't think, feel. But then when Obi-Wan takes on Anakin, I think there is a little bit of awkwardness of how do they see their relationships. Literally in the film, in the films, at one point, Anakin says, "You're the closest thing I have to a father." And at the, you know, the tragic end, Obi-Wan says, "You were my brother." And there's this great tension of whether Obi-Wan sees himself as more of a father figure or a brother figure in his role as mentor. So my mind went to the moment that I thought Obi-Wan was the best father he could be to Anakin, which is in their parting in Revenge of the Sith, where Obi-Wan says, "You are strong and wise, Anakin, and I'm very proud of you. I have trained you since you were a small boy. I have taught you everything I know, and you have become a far greater Jedi than I could ever hope to be." Now, that could be just interpreted as, yep, that is the student and master relationship, that the student should surpass the master. But I think in mythic storytelling like Star Wars, that kind of goes for parenthood as well. And I feel like that's a moment where Obi-Wan kind of stood up to the father role and said, "Anakin, I'm going to give you all of the praise that you need, the legitimate praise. I know you're having a hard time. I know you're in a difficult place, but, you know, I have trained you since you were a small boy." That really signifies a child-parent relationship, not a big brother who, you know, had to adopt this kid he didn't want, but a father-son relationship in that moment. And I think you can boil all of that down to, "Son, I'm proud, and you became a better man than me." It's a good effort on Obi-Wan's part to be a father in a moment where Anakin needed a father.
Yeah, well said indeed. And this idea of it wasn't something that, I like this wrinkle more and more of Phantom Menace, of it was more Qui-Gon and it was, you know, "Hey, Obi-Wan, do this for me." And Obi-Wan had to grow into it. And this battle of brother versus father, those are two very important roles, but two very different roles. And maybe Obi-Wan fought that along the way, and maybe that'll be part of his regrets. Should I have done it sooner? What could I have done? I want to spend time with Obi-Wan in the desert, answering those tough questions in his life. But this moment is a moment where, yeah, like you said, he chose this, he chose that moment, and it's some sweet words. And who knows what stuck to Anakin's heart? We always talk about some of Shmi's words being part of what might have turned him in the end. That those lessons never really left him. Maybe there was a part of Anakin that was holding on to that deep down within that suit for decades. So I think that's why it's a powerful moment. And then it adds to the pain a little bit later on Mustafar as well.
Oh yeah, super big add to the pain. And I think it's one of Hayden Christensen's finest moments is Anakin, where as Obi-Wan walks away, he has that moment of happiness and pride for just a second, and then all of his troubles come rushing back in and his face just falls and it's so sad. But yeah. Good job, Obi-Wan.
good job. Great choice, number four. We wouldn't be a Star Wars ranked without Obi-Wan somewhere on it, and we need him. We need Obi-Wan, just like Anakin did. My number four is this. Go, survive, live. Garrick Versio says goodbye. We're going to Battlefront 2. I was thinking, all right, who are the fathers and sons and the fathers and daughters in Star Wars? And Iden Versio popped into my head. I do love the character of Iden. I think it's from a simple, cool Star Wars design to a different kind of view of father and even motherhood in Star Wars. We get a lot of great things from Iden Versio character. I would love to see more of in many different forms. But I love, there's something about her relationship with her father because he is imperial to the core. And he maybe is not inherently evil, but he is part of this machine. And he was raised, or she was raised in this system. It's something that's always a little, I love their take on it. Her childhood, this was the family business. I always refer to it as that. There's no need to question it. And her mother was an artist and brought that type of feel, but then was painting the posters, the propaganda posters. And here's her father, who is cold, stringent, distant, drives her forward in a military career, puts her on the Inferno Squad. Great stuff in Christy Golden's book, Battlefront 2. But I go to the end, the final moment, when you think you're going to save him. You think you're going to rescue him in this mission during the Battle of Jakku on the bridge of his Star Destroyer. And he doesn't want to go. He doesn't deserve to go. He knows that. And I love this line he says to her. You saw the Empire's weakness and refused to let it consume you. It made you stronger. That's why you're leaving here without me. And there's always an interesting point in your life where the roles slightly get reversed, parents to children, not that you suddenly know more than them or anything, but you start to see them as human. You start to see them as frail. You start to see their weaknesses. And I think in turn, sometimes parents then grow from their children later on in life, right? Where the little bit of those lessons, switch, those roles switch. And this to me is one of those moments. And I think it's kind of a tear jerky moment for me when I think about it, of just him going, all this time, man, I was wrong, but Aiden, you're right. Similar to what you're saying a little bit with Obi-Wan Anakin, like you are the best of me. You're the better part of me. Go on. And he also goes down with a ship. He's an old school military soul indeed, I guess, but also, there's something to me in Star Wars, which is about redemption. I just like this little bit of a left turn of him going, I don't deserve it. I had a chance to turn around. I had a chance to see it. It was all in front of me. I didn't see it. You did, Aiden. You get to go be redeemed.
Yeah, man, I think this is a great pick. I absolutely love that moment in Battlefront 2. And there is a great complexity to the storytelling once you combine the book and the video game and that portrait of how the Empire affects people. There are true believers, but he and the whole Versio family are such a great portrait of we believe in conducting yourself with just precision, and you follow the rule of law, and you train hard, and you become the best that you can be, and you follow the chain of command, and you don't question. And to see the turmoil that Aiden has to go through when, oh wait, there's no way to wiggle around it. We're being told from beyond the grave to assault our own homeworld for no valid reason. It's such a great portrait of, it's not these ideals of train yourself to absolute perfection. It's not a critique of being rigidly trained in the best that you can be, and generally having faith in the structures you've created. But it's this moment of saying, hey, but still, even within all of that, there might come a moment where all of that training and all of that life view might suddenly become corrupted by what it is being used to do. In the strength that Aiden has to say, that's just a step too far. An amazing moment in the video game, and I think a great bit of storytelling that her father eventually let himself see it, and is forced to see it by Aiden, because he knows how great she is, I guess I really do have to question what I'm doing for the first time in a very, very long time. You know, is a great father moment, as you're saying, to question his own beliefs and what he has been tricked into doing.
Yeah, and it's a confirmation for her, bittersweet, painful as it was. She's going there to save him, but just like, you had it right. You're right, kid. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Versios, man, they're an interesting family indeed. A lot of their stories, good stuff to dig into, and I hope there's a way to return to it in some way, especially with Aiden. Yeah. So that's my number four, go survive, live, which are his final words to her. So we're up to your number three, sir.
My number three, you know, I had a hard time. I knew I wanted to include this person in this relationship, but I had a hard time narrowing it down, and I found something I think I like. So we are going back to Rogue One. We are going biological. and it is Galen, of course, in his relationship with Jyn. But the thing that I think really got to me in particular, many different moments to choose from, but the fact that Galen is very much hoping that his message reaches Jyn in particular. So you got the practical side of it, of he's trying to get it to Saw for obvious, like, who do I know who can actually do something with this information? But it could have easily just been, hey, I'm trying to get this information to Saw. But that hope that Jyn might still be around Saw, or Saw might be able to find Jyn, and that he took the time to not just say, hey, the Empire made me do this, I hated it, I built a flaw, good luck, but that the message is, yeah, it's about the technical flaw, but it is far, far, far more about his own relationship with Jyn and his desperation to let her know that why he did these things, and that he never stopped loving her, and to basically free her from the prison that she has been in of not knowing exactly where her father's loyalties lie. I think there's such a power in that of, I know that you are going to be tortured for the rest of your life by not knowing who I really am, what I really believe, what I really care about, why I did these awful things. And the most important thing to me is, yes, sharing the actual flaw, but I need to hope, in order to basically even keep going, to hope that someday my daughter can hear these words and I can free her from this doubt and at least give her the information so she can decide how to feel about me.
Ooh, yeah. Oh man, yeah, this is a wonderful moment. And this, a lot of what you're saying, Joseph, really speaks to that part of me that's all about pounding my fist on the table of ask why, not what and how, in Star Wars, or at least start with why. Get to the other stuff later. Yeah, you know, this scene's about the information, but nah, it's so much more. And I call this one of, and this is you know, Felicity Jones bringing one of the best acting moments to Star Wars, if you want to go outside the story. Because I think she plays everything that you're talking about, and it's powerful. And this is one of those moments that I think, I have to choose my words carefully. If you read the supplemental material around it, maybe even Catalyst, which gets you a little bit more into who Galen is, but Rebel Rising and even the Rogue One novelization, you really know, Joseph, that she was tortured in her heart, thinking her father abandoned her for the Empire. Not knowing, and not sure, not even sure if he's alive. And that just destroyed her along the way. And her father, you know, Saw, you know, for all of his strengths, got a lot of faults and is caught up in his own journey. So this is a big release, and what you're describing is so true. And for him to carry it on and not know, he just has to put it out there. And this is why I did it. It got a little bit of the Chad Palpatine moment of some of his actions, some of the other things in the movie of, I got to do this, you don't fully understand, and it'll hit later. But here's the moment where it hits and we get to see it. And that's why it's so powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's clear that he's been living with this, because he says that right before they part, when Krennic is coming for him, of just like, just know whatever I do it for you. And then that he gets to follow through with that in that great speech, and the power, you're right, of her response of, man, that is, I think, enhanced by all the books, but she does just play the, this isn't just an emotional thing. This is exactly what I have needed to hear for years.
Yeah, you use the term prison, being trapped there. Yeah, because everything about her, don't look up. And I don't have the option of political opinions, all this stuff. You know, she's had a tough life. Jyn's got a tough life. But a lot of it comes from, you know, I don't want to be part of the rebellion because they're causing problems too. And I don't want to be part of the Empire because they either killed my father or my father left me for them. And I don't, you know, and then this is, like you said, it is a release. It is, the gates are open. Step on out and make the right choice.
And being his daughter has been a potential death sentence for her. We learn in the book so much that, like, ooh, he's involved in important Imperial stuff. You're a target because you're his daughter. It adds even more layers to it, right?
Yeah. Daughter of the Imperial Science Officer. What am I? I love Forrest Whitaker's Saw Gerrera. Holy moly, I love it.
The only voice I ever want in my car for any sort of Google Maps is Saw Gerrera.
Turn left. Are you coming here to kill me? Are you trying to parallel park?
Love it.
It's all great, man. It's all great stuff. And seriously, like Joseph would say, enhance and everything. I think sometimes it's easy to say, well, I shouldn't have to read the books. Yeah, you're right. I don't think you need to enjoy this moment, to understand this moment, to feel this moment. You don't. But to get even more information, it's there, and it's a blessing we have these books around. And Beth Revis did such a good job with Rebel Rising, so good. And we want you to check it out. So that's your number three, big emotional moment. We're gonna go to my number three. I mean, this is an emotional moment. It's big. And this popped in my head. And this is going to sound like it's a parody or a joke. But no, I thought about it. And I'm like, I stand by this one. My number three is much like Liam Neeson in Taken. I'm calling this Star Wars Taken, the Baron Papanoida saga. I wasn't doing some search, fatherhood Star Wars. I was like, what are these moments? And I thought back to the Clone Wars. I thought back to the episode where Baron Papanoida, his daughter's been kidnapped, children been kidnapped, and Greedo's involved. So the hapless tale of Greedo continues. And he goes out to, he does enlist Ahsoka, gets involved to rescue, and he goes to those channels. And this is a chairman. This is a playwright. He's considered. He's not a classic warrior, right? His power comes from other areas. For him to get down on the ground, to get dirty, gritty, and pull out the blasters in Chalmers Cantina, by the way, and not be afraid to shoot them up and actually make good on it there. I was looking around, I was like, you know what? This is primal. This is based in some revenge and violence, but it's also based out of, I'm going to do everything I can to save my children. In this particular case, his daughter. So there you go. I'm putting it there. I'm all for it. And, it turns out relatively well. And so to me, he earns his seat at the Opera House to get to enjoy some of the finer things in life. I'm going with it, man. Baron Papanoida. George Lucas's character, no surprise that it's a loyal father.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great. It's a great arc in the Clone Wars. There are so many great arcs that really demonstrate how passionate Lucas is about some of the political ideas in the prequel era in particular. And that one is yet another one that dances into that territory. But I love this selection also just from a meta point of, we're talking about fatherhood in Star Wars. Lucas is, the father of all Star Wars. So that was fun that he eventually did that cameo in Revenge of the Sith, and that his kids had been in a bunch of the prequel films, and even his daughter involved in the Clone Wars animated series on the writing team. So then it could have just been, that's a cameo. But then to be like, no, let's put the daddy of Star Wars in a Star Wars story, and let's really focus on his fatherhood in that is just great layers of reality and fantasy meeting.
Yeah, it's worth it a second look, man. And, we here in Force Center, we're going to kind of, work back in with some Clone Wars reporting of looking back on episodes from time to time. And that could be one that we revisit. And then it does factor into the sad life of Greedo.
He's had it rough.
Yeah, so Star Wars Taken, Baron Papanoida has a particular set of skills, and he's going to go use them. We are up to your number two.
Oh, okay, my number two. I had to go super classic. For me, on my list, there had to be some sort of Vader moment. It is, chronologically in our real world, the first, big father relationship, the revelation, I am your father being the most famous thing in Star Wars in some ways. just in pop culture. Even going back to Luke wanting to be a Jedi Knight like his father, all that's the relationship. I felt like I needed something. And when I just closed my eyes and thought, I was like, that gets talked about. There's a million actual Father's Day cards right. you can buy with Vader on them. What is the moment that is most meaningful to me? And what I came to was not Vader, but Anakin at the very end of his life. He has a moment to choose his last words. He gets to look upon Luke with his own eyes. But then what are his chosen last words? Tell your sister you were right. So that is my number two, is Anakin, not Vader, saying, tell your sister you were right. What a great compact. I have been a very bad father. I have made almost an indescribable amount of horrific decisions. Right. And I only have these last moments. I triumphed over my own evil. I chose to save my son and save myself. I made this great choice, but now I just have moments left. And what, with just a few words, the most important thing is, I want her to be relieved from being haunted by me as much as possible, which, you know, is damage control at that point. Going to ever be Father of the Year. So there's that sort of element to it of, please pass this on to her. I'm thinking about her as well, even though I'm looking you in the face and you're the one I have the relationship with. But also just that the sentiment is, you were right. Please, please tell my daughter that I was, at least in the final moments of my life, still a good person.
Mm. Or that it was, you know, the potential was there. It existed. There's part of me that was okay. And again, you're talking about the horrible things. I'm going back to New Hope. Like, he was part of the capture and torture of his daughter. That great description in, was it a Bloodline that Claudia Gray describes, like him gripping Leia's shoulder during the destruction of Alderaan in a painful way. There's a lot of painful memories there. And so he knows he can't directly redeem himself to Leia or with Leia, maybe ever. You know, maybe he knows that I'm dying with those horrible acts on my resume there, so to speak. But yeah, I like that you're saying that it was on his mind. Like, oh man, please tell her, because I wasn't good.
Yeah. I really have come to appreciate that more and more over the years, because it would have been very easy to write that scene as, Luke says, you know, I'm not going to go, I have to save you. And he says, you already have, and he could have just said, you were right about me. You were right about me. But the fact that he specifically says, tell your sister you are right about me, is a good father move.
Yeah. Good job, Anakin. Darth Anakin. Annie. Good job. What a great moment. I'm glad you highlighted that one specifically, because there's a lot from the throne room there that is important for Vader, and it's all kind of factored in. It's almost a Star Wars ranked Hall of Fame moment. But when I saw your list and you were taking the magnifying glass to the one particular moment that did strike a chord in me as well. So great choice for your number two, sir.
Excellent. Thank you.
And we're going to stay in Vader territory with my number two, but we're going to go to the pages of Marvel Comics. And this is the moment or moments, because it's in a couple different issues, the Vader, Darth Vader one, and then the Star Wars mainline. And this is Darth Vader learning that his son is alive. His name is Skywalker. This is one of those moments. To me, it's a building block moment for a lot of things, even you just discussed, or a lot of things we see with him, how he being Vader views Palpatine. Now, he's kind of always did, but this kind of confirms some things for him. His choice to kind of hide some stuff, play with the Emperor as much as he can. You know, they have that weird Emperor and Vader have a weird, from Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. There's some real weird boss employee moments there of, I don't know that. Why would you know that? He's my son. And a lot of that comes to the pain, which quickly, because it's Vader, goes to anger. that is learned in this moment, when he just really kind of confirms a lot of the things that he's known, that he's been lied to, that this painful existence, this trap he lives in, this literal trap he walks around in, this prison, it was all part of this big lie, all part of this, and that a legacy is out there, or part of him is out there. And again, at this point, he doesn't know about Leia, but that it represents what he could have been, or represents another choice. And I still think, because it's a war between Vader and Anakin, that's the big fight going on all the time, that it's painful. He's aware of it. You know, he has these thoughts, these memories, and that when he's in his castle and Vinay's, you know, making him his tea while he's in the back to there, it's all in him. And so to have this moment, that's why the pain, again, that quickly goes to that Darth Vader anger. But if you read the comic, the windows crack on the Star Destroyer, it's Boba Fett that delivers the news. And then the other angle on it is he's looking out onto the fleet that, you know, hey, this is part of now his plan to maybe take out the Palpatine. And it is that Sith Master Apprentice relationship. But to me, it's so personal now from Vader. It isn't just that I want to take out my master per the teachings of our weird organization. It's coming from this pain, coming from his son, and it all these wonderful, sweet father moments we've talked about here today. This one is not necessarily sweet, but I just like, to me, it's a building block for a lot of the redemption that's to come.
Yeah, no, this is a great choice, because we have focused a lot on moments where fathers truly gave something to one of their children, or made a sacrifice for one of their children. But obviously, neither you or I are fathers, but we have fathers. obviously, fathers, this is controversial, are still humans, and right, and they have to process things for themselves. And this is a great father moment that's about what does the father have to go through. And I love everything that you're saying. I like thinking of it, all of that, from such a modern canon perspective, where we've learned about the machinery of how Vader helped the Empire hunt down and destroy the Jedi Knights. And we know that getting close to this time, you know, the Inquisitors are still working at it. Any Jedi who's popping up is being dealt with. Kanan and Ezra took a little bit of work, but dealt with in their own ways. And when Vader is trying to shoot this kid down and saying the Force is strong in him, you know, he's trying to, you know, prevent the Death Star from being destroyed, but that's got to be on his to-do list of, well, if this kid survives, I got to deal with this kid. And it adds to it, because knowing it's not just, ooh, interesting, that kid is strong in the Force, but knowing, well, that's a target on him. I got to find that kid. So to have that, you know, depending on exactly how much he recognized something more familiar or even more powerful than just a Force user, to have this idea go from got to track that guy down because it's my job to destroy him, to it's my son and I have been lied to, and how much else have I been lied to, and was Padme really dead when he said she was, and revisiting all of the initial traumas of, did I make this happen, right? Yeah. I mean, all of that, just all of those ideas trying to flood through him at once, and just becoming that crack in the glass is beautiful and painful.
Yeah, and we grew up, you know, in the 80s when you see this, and from Empire to Jedi, it's George has a lot into it. George puts a lot into it, to be clear. I'm not taking a shot, but just like we grew up just as simple. Oh, he learns that's his son, or he knows it's his son, and now it's a tool. And at least, you know, it's just not on the surface, but it's like we didn't have this full picture that the modern canon has. It's just, like I said, a lot of trauma, a lot of pain, a lot of revelations, and at least just some great moments to read as a fan. So if you haven't had a chance, check out that comic issue. I mean, it came out, it was 2015, long time ago.
Yeah.
All right. Vader learns his son is alive. That's my number two. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have some honorable mentions. We got some fun honorable mentions here, and then we'll each give our number one moment, our best moments of fatherhood in Star Wars, here on Star Wars Rank. Stick around.
Bye-bye. This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, 4Center fans, don't forget 4Center is on YouTube. Head over there to catch up with our new show, Star Wars Show and Tell. Joseph, Jennifer, Ken, and special guests sit down and share favorite items from their own Star Wars memorabilia collections. Plus, there's the In Memoriam video series, encore presentations of Databank Brawl, and special programming all there for you, and more shows on the way. It's 4Center on YouTube. Check it out. Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JenniLanda.com, that's JENILANDA.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Welcome back here to Star Wars Ranked. We are ranking the best fatherhood moments in Star Wars. This is the movies, shows, books, comics, and even video games, all looking at the modern era of Star Wars canon and finding the moments where fathers or found fathers or adopted fathers or Jedi Master fathers are there. Learning, making moments, and having impact. We have some honorable mentions, as we always do, and we're close on a couple of them, Joseph, here, because I just want to run through your list, and we'll go from there.
Okay, yeah, I got some ones that are close to my heart, and some ones that are a little bit more out there. One that is close to my heart that truly came close to making my actual list is in the movie Solo, when Han is on the cockpit of the Falcon for this first time and recognizing it as a YT-1300 Carillion freighter and saying, you know, my dad built these. He worked for the CEC, the Carillion Engineering Corporation, and he wanted to be a pilot. And following that with Lando, I was like, did you have a good relationship with your dad? No. There's so much real life father-son relationship in that moment. It is so beautifully written. Han's love of the Falcon is connected to his father, connected immediately to these ideas that even if you don't have a great relationship with your father or your parents, they are still a part of you and a part of your legacy for you to consider how it affects your identity. And it clearly does affect Han's identity. This just simple snapshot of obviously things didn't go right for his dad. Doesn't sound like his dad was the greatest dad in the world somehow. But he was like Han. He also dreamed of flying, but instead of actually getting to implement his dreams, he was forced to just for no money put the nuts and bolts of the dream together but never actually experience it. So even though Han doesn't even like his dad, clearly that's a part of what's motivating Han is, hey, the galaxy stopped my dad from living the dream. They made him just build it for other people, but I'm gonna live the dream. And all of that is just in that little scene. That is just such a powerful moment about fatherhood in that scene.
Yeah, this definitely could have made the list of some close to my heart as well, because this speaks to what we talk about with the movie Solo, how a lot of what the movie represents to the greater Star Wars story, the destruction of industry and destruction of this particular family and what that does. And it is a small beat and a small moment. And I remember, I don't go too far down this negative path. I remember when the movie is out, a lot of people brought up this scene as it somehow contradicts Han being an orphan. Did he know his father or not? Or was the relationship with his father? And a lot of people get just caught up in that instead of the why of this moment and why it was so powerful to Han. And even there's some stuff with Lando, like, you know, he's good with his mom. Like that's some revelations in this scene as well too. So it's a good moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And that they Lando didn't have a great dad either. And like, you really get the picture of, like, if you walked into Chalmers Cantina and said, raise your hand if you had a good relationship with your father, no hands, no tentacles, no paws, no nothing would go up.
I have a feeling Akmena would be like, oh, I'm pretty good.
But all right. So if you go to the night shift and Akmena would work.
That's a great one.
Yeah, so that was the only really meaty one on my runners-up list. I thought about Jango and Boba a lot. In particular, this is just a moment that I just feel like it's one of those rare moments in Star Wars where you just see, it's not a big moment, it's just like a realistic moment. I love that moment when Jango tells Boba to close the door so Obi-Wan won't see his armor. And, you know, I can't even, Boba, Shitahoga, I tried to look it up and memorize it before. I don't need to do that right now, but I love that moment because it's just, you get just a little picture of their, you know, relationship, that it's a close one and that it is that they're in sync. I also just wanted to mention just Kanan and Ezra in general. I think that is a Jedi Padawan relationship that to me is a clearly a father son relationship. Obviously, Ezra has his own relationship with his parents. But Kanan just grows from that, like, I can't teach you. That's not who I am, to being such an example for Ezra and not only kind of raising him as a kid, but as a Jedi. And also when, you know, teaching him kind of when and how to let go So Kanan and Ezra in general, I got to do a big Rebels rewatch so I can zero in on some more specific moments in the future. But I wanted to shout out Kanan. This is a little jokey, a little cruel. But, you know, poor Rats Tyrell died in the pod race, but he meant well. He planned this whole family trip all the way to Mos Espa to see him pod race. Three kids. Look, they must have been so excited, right, when they got there. A well-intentioned father's moment that turned into tragedy. And my final runner-up just has to be, it's pushing the boundaries of our interpretation of fatherhood a little bit, but when we're talking about the most important instances of creating new life, when you're listing fathers or parents in general, I feel like you must mention the midichlorians. There was no father. There was just the midichlorians.
That's great. That's awesome. Somebody thinks, have we ever really discussed whether or not, and this is one of those, you watch a movie 100 times and suddenly something jumps out to you that maybe you saw before, but you never really stopped to think about it. You know, in the infamous Jar Jar steps in the poopy scene on Tatooine, is that's rats in his family behind him, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Which
I gotta watch it again more closely, but there's definitely some Alina there.
In my head canon, it is, because they're clearly, it's like a field trip. You almost see them like taking a picture, like, dad's here at Mos Espa for the big break. And it just adds, I'm telling you, the story of the Tyrell family. Oh boy, it's like the Tyrell family in Game of Thrones, full of tragedy. So, anyway, side note there. Great list. Midichlorians, indeed. My list starts with Django and Boba's big day out. You focused on that door moment, which is great. I just, in general, this is just going on. It's like the joy Boba has just watching his dad just try to kill a Jedi in space and do his thing. It's touching. It's really touching. Yeah, dad, get him.
Like, yeah. You get the sense that that's not the first time, but that since they're kind of supposed to be keeping a low profile on Kamino, that this is like pretty rare. This is like, you know, those special times when, you know, my dad would take me out to do some archery.
It's like, hey, dad, you want to go out in the backyard and have a catch, or you want to get in the Slave One and go chase a Jedi? I love it there. This one, not a specific moment either. I just wanted to acknowledge the stepfather, Wedge and Snap. Wedge and Tilly's in his relationship with Snap Wexley, training him, mentoring him in a relationship with his mother, Nora. You know, and Snap's real dad returns, and that's part of the aftermath plot, and some stuff happens. But I don't have a specific moment. I think it should be acknowledged the stepfather angle, someone coming in and making a positive difference and influence on a life, on a younger life, when, you know, it's a tough situation, tough circumstance, that family unit. And I really like that one there as well. So I'll have to pick a more specific moment later on.
No, that's great. And I love how much it's followed up on in Resistance Reborn.
Right. Absolutely. It is. And then this one, I'll be honest, I did try to find a specific moment. I think we're entering the need to reread all the Star Wars books to remember specific moments phase of our fandoms. So I just put Bail and Breha Organa bringing Leia into the family business in Leia, Princess of Alderaan. They try to not necessarily keep her out, but just protect her for good reason. And Leia just keeps sticking her compassionate nose in all their business. And eventually they have to say those dinner parties, you know, we're having our, you know, the rebellion, basically. And there's some great moments there with definitely this book focuses a lot on the relationship between Brea and Leia, but Bail and Leia having some really good moments in that book as well. I just need to reread it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I can, for me, there's those moments where you get that it's described as this, they were my parents, but they were the kind of parents that were also my best friends. And then suddenly they weren't, and I didn't know why. And then to know, we're talking so much about sacrifice, to know it's because this rebellion is going to go from political to violent, and we probably can't stop it, and we're trying to protect her. But then to just hear this, you know, young woman's perspective of like, why aren't my awesome parents hanging out with me anymore, is just so heartbreaking.
They used to bring us pizza into the movie night. And now they're having dinner with their stuffy friends. Oh, they're starting a rebellion. Yeah. So I love that moment there. I got a couple moments here. I gotta acknowledge again, little found family stuff here. Uncle Owen's tough love. You know, I think now we can look back. Hey, he's cranky. He's grumpy. He's a curmudgeon. Things you and I can respect, Joseph, but the theme behind it is he knows what Luke's father is and has done. And he wants, he knows his mission is to keep that from happening. And I think Uncle Owen over the years, you know, doesn't get the credit he deserves for raising the son of Vader, raising the son of an evil fallen Jedi.
Right.
And he can't sit down and tell him, much like what Leia's dealing with Bail and Braille. He can't say, look, you're not going to join the Imperial Academy because you are the Imperial Academy.
Right. And that's another one that, I've always appreciated that moment. I think I've always resented Uncle Owen a little bit because he is the, no, you can't do that. You can't go out and play. It's too dangerous, you know, and stuff that is difficult for me. But Uncle Owen especially from modern canon, right? He's or even the prequel era canon, that's not just some rando kid. That's his stepmother's son. That's Shmi's, yeah, or Shmi's grandson. And you know, you imagine the news sort of trickling down all the way to Tatooine of, do you hear the rebels actually had this full all-out battle with, yeah, it's all happening again. Here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
Got to keep him down on the farm. Got to keep him down on the farm for his own safety. He's wrong, but he means well.
Yeah, and it works on the surface in the moment in 77 of, you know, young generation wanting to look towards the twin sons, and you get the old generation saying, no, finish your dinner and your chores. it works on that level, but as the story of Star Wars gets bigger and rolls on, it means more there. A couple quick ones here. I had to mention Punky Muffin, Jabba's father-in-law. Like, just watched that the other day. Well, studying for questions that never get asked in a trivia contest, and that one popped up. Just the sweetness in Jabba's voice describing his Punky Muffin.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and I mean, it can get easily overlooked that the fate of the early Clone Wars hinges on Jabba's love for his son.
Yeah. And then a couple quick ones I'm adding last minute here. I kind of forgot. I the moment of Wicket and Pommet in Rise of Skywalker is just a sweet father-son moment. It even has a little bit more to it in the novel. That is great. I love that. And then final one, we could choose a lot of the Mandalorian and Baby Yoda, the child. I go to one of my favorite moments, and you talked about it so well and eloquently on our Mandalorian report. When he goes back, I believe it's when he goes back to get Gina Cara Dune, and Baby Yoda is imitating his new father's walk going into the little hot restaurant there. It's so great. It's so subtle. And it's been going on because he wants to fly like his father. He wants to defend his father. He wants to grab the spaceship controls like his father. But now he's walking like his father. I just love that moment. I love that moment.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's a good runner up, but honestly, all of Mandalorian season one should probably be the just in the Hall of Fame for best father moments. Is the entire first season of Mandalorian is the best father moment in Star Wars.
Totally is. So with our honorable mentions, which is really just me and Joseph trying to say, yeah, we know, here's some more moments. We know we have to make tough cuts on this list. We're going to go to my number one, so Joseph can close the show with his number one. And we are going to go back to Bail Organa. And again, I always want to give his wife, Brea, a credit as well here and not leave her out of the conversation. But we're talking about great fatherhood moments. I love Revenge of the Sith, where he just simply says, when the plan is being hatched that they'll take Leia, my wife and I will take the girl. We've always talked of adopting a baby girl. She will be loved by us. I just love that moment. We've talked a lot of moments or decisions being made, and you have to take those decisions, put them up against the full context of the Star Wars story. They've just seen the fall of the Republic. they've just seen the beginning and a mass extinction of the Jedi. And he's sitting there with two Jedi who are about to go into hiding, one for a mission, one for both for a mission, but one for a great failure. And they're running and hiding for their lives. And they have the offspring of Anakin Skywalker. And Bail says, "We'll take her," knowing that that could go really wrong for him and his wife, for him and his planet. It does. That also gets tied into the rebellion, another brave choice by the Organas to lead that. But I just like this moment. It's simple. It's one of those building block foundations. You could overlook it. All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We get it. We got to explain why those characters have adopted that character. No, think of it in story. Yoda doesn't turn to him and say, "Do you mind?" He jumps in and says, "We'll do it. We'll take her." And I think that's powerful.
I think that's great. I think that's a really great moment to highlight, because I think it is a moment where you can get caught up in the what. You know, if you grew up with the original trilogy, you know, it's Obi-Wan sitting on a log giving you that information that to keep you both safe from the Emperor, you were hidden at birth. And I think when Revenge of the Sith came out, a lot of people processed those moments is like, we're watching the Jedi make these tactical decisions. But if you really listen to the film and listen to this great quote that you picked out, it's not just about where's the best place to hide them. It's after the Jedi have been through the Clone Wars, after they've suffered such incredible loss, what is also on their mind is where will these two children be loved? Because that's what they need. It's as much as to be hidden from the Emperor and from their father, they need to be loved. So it is important that Yoda suggests, well, you know, take him to some place that had a relationship with his grandmother, and we'll see him as family and we'll care about him as family. And to the credit of you picking this quote, that he doesn't just say she'll be safe with us. He says we want her and she will be loved.
Yeah. The Organas, man. That's why Leia's so great.
Yeah.
The hardwiring's great. Going to Padme, and even some of Anakin's action and skills. But man, folks out there, if you haven't had a chance, read Leia, Princess of Alderaan by Claudia Gray. I think it's such a good book and covers a lot of Leia and her parents and the importance of it. So that is my number one, Bail takes Leia, which means, sir, we are up to your number one.
My number one, Ken, I think probably did not surprise you when I shared with you what I was thinking for my number one. It is the cheek touch that saved the galaxy. It is the moment in The Force Awakens and then a reconceived, reimagined, literally, in The Rise of Skywalker, where Han Solo, the rogue, the scoundrel, the adventurer, reaches out and in his bravest act, touches his son's cheek when his son has lost his way. When Force Awakens first came out, there's a lot of discussion about this moment, and it was a moment that I really, really attached to. It was weird for me to see Han as a father. Like, it was one of those things that made plot sense, but, you know, Han, I had always kind of associated, and I'm going a little personal here, always kind of associated Han with my brother, because we divided up the characters and he was Han and I was Luke, and those were the action figures we had, and my, you know, my brother wanted to be like Han and I wanted to be like Luke. And then here Harrison Ford comes on the screen and he just literally does look a lot like my dad. Like, I'm not saying my dad is as handsome as Harrison Ford. I apologize to my father if he ever listens to this podcast, but my dad works on cars. I've talked about how he gave me his, you know, old keychain beer bottle. He wears, you know, kind of worn out leathery old jackets. He's got this big mane of salt and pepper hair. And when I saw Han Solo in The Force Awakens, I was like, he is just radiating dad to me.
Yeah.
And my father is kind of a classic father of his generation too, where, you know, it took some work for him to be able to open up emotionally a little bit more. He knew he needed to do that, but it's easier for him to remind me to, you know, change the oil on my car than to sometimes maybe open up a little bit. And So for me, as a fan of Star Wars, but also bringing a lot of kind of personal emotions into it, knowing that that's the last thing that Han wants to do. That's the scariest thing for Han to do, is to believe that if he opens up to his son, he can get through to him. And even after that fails, he can't quite get through to him. And Kylo has made the worst choice he can. He forgives him immediately in that cheek touch. And then, you know, as you well know, as listeners well know, going through the years between Force Awakens and Rise of Skywalker, I kept hoping that that would have the weight that I thought it deserved, the power of that. That, you know, Han Solo, you know, there's nothing in it for me but money. I don't care about your rebellion, has grown so much that his son stabs him and he's still like, ah, I love you, son, with that cheek touch. And then to have Kylo reflect in Rise of Skywalker and feel that cheek touch for what it was, for I haven't been the greatest dad. I know I haven't always been able to open up, but come on, son. You know everything I feel is in this gesture. It's tender and it's proud, and I am happy to be your father. I'm proud to be your father. I'm proud that you're my son. And I just get all of that every time. And I think I've seen Rise of Skywalker 9 or 10 times now, and I get teary every time, because it is this beautiful payoff of a father reaching out and just saying, regardless of anything, I need my son to know that I love him.
Mm. Yeah, this list wouldn't be complete without this one. And I had put it on there, for it means so much to me. But I'm really glad this was your number one, because for a lot of reasons, you were on this train from the beginning. From even my first couple of viewings of Force Awakens, where I was like, I'm a big Han guy. I didn't feel anything in his death, interacting with the what and not the why. And we keep saying that. We keep saying that here at Force Center, because I believe it's just so important if you want to engage with Star Wars, is to ask those whys, or to look at the whys. And you did. And this works as a real world moment. This works. All the things you're saying there, it works in Star Wars. And if you're a Han Solo fan like me and like your brother, it does. It is truly the cheek touch that saved the galaxy. Not to take anything away from Rey, but it's they're a dyad. They work. They need both. They need all the parts, and Leia's lightsaber and everything. There's a lot of things that go into that emotional poem that Rise of Skywalker truly is, beneath all the bombast. And that moment, and you, I think you were sitting behind me, but when we first saw it together at El Capitan, I ugly cried during this. Shoulders shaking, for everything that it means, everything that it said. And I mean, credit due where credit is. It needs to be given. This wasn't a prediction you made. You were never like, you know what I need to see? You were like, this is this moment that deserves, that has this weight and deserves this attention and weight. And when they got it, when they nailed it, man, it was just like, whew, the themes of Star Wars are there. And I love the emotional canon. And this is a great, powerful moment for Han, for fatherhood, for Kylo, for Ben to be like, I know I'm horrible, but he loved me in spite of that. And that's a pretty powerful thing that we all kind of need in our lives too. So big moment. Great number one.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about it, because, man, I love that moment so much. And, oh, man, Adam Driver's the way he delivers dad. Beautiful.
I don't know. I don't want, it's like I come out of that first screen and tears stream down my face. And if you don't like the movie, you don't like the movie. You don't like the choices, you don't like the choices. I got no problem with that. But I come out feeling that. And it just looked around and was like, I think a lot of you just missing, you're just missing stuff that's there. And this is one of the big ones. It just was pitch perfect. Everything about it. Anyways, that's a different conversation.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's what was unique about the response to Rise of Skywalker. You know, you and I both really love Last Jedi, with, you know, a couple of our little criticisms here and there. But some of the resistance to Last Jedi was, you know, debates we've had before about Luke should have kicked ass. Some even just like horrible stuff about real world stuff, you know, directed towards Kelly Marie Tran. Rise of Skywalker just felt different because absolutely everybody should have their opinion. But I think those of us who loved it really loved it like a family member. We loved it because it it got its hooks in deep in things that we really care about. So that was an interesting journey for Rise of Skywalker for me to go, everybody's opinion is valid. And if you really dislike the movie, absolutely a valid opinion. But could you stop saying mean things about my movie dad?
Yes. That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. Mike.
But a great list, man. This is great stuff. I'm so glad you checked your calendar and we got this in. This is what we do here at Force Center. We love diving in deep to the big scenes, the little moments, the lines, the dialogues, and the emotions behind it all. It's really fun discussing Star Wars like this. So thank you, Sir Joseph, for bringing in your wonderful list to best fatherhood moments in Star Wars today on Star Wars Ranked. We are almost out of here. We do want to remind you of some things. If you want to listen to Leia, Princess of Alderaan, or some of the other books, Rebel Rising, do yourself a favor. It's for yourself. Go to Audible and go to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter and try a free audiobook on us. Helps you, helps the show, and we're all happy. Also, you can support us on patreon.com/ForceCenter. The new music you've been hearing the last couple weeks comes from the great Tony Thaxton. That was made possible by all of you who support us on Patreon. You can follow us on Facebook, like our page there, on Twitter at Force Center Pod, Instagram. We are on YouTube, Star Wars Show and Tell, In Memoriams, and more things on the way. And we got our own stuff as well. Joseph, they can go follow you and your website for all of your adventures and such.
Yeah. So you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw. As I say, every once in a while, that's, if you're on social media, that's always really helpful. It does actually matter in some dumb industry thing. So if you're there and you're looking for some more Star Wars thoughts and whatnot, you can follow me there at Joseph Scrimshaw. And like Ken said, everything else I do is on my website at josephscrimshaw.com.
That's right. You can go to kennapsack.com to get all my doings and comings and goings. Charity Spotlight, Joseph and I have been highlighting that, especially over on the main show. So check it all out there. And I don't know yet. I heard some rumors of my first stand-up booking out of state.
Really?
I was like, okay. And then I'm like, maybe not. Oh, stay tuned. I'll announce it on the shows and events page on catnapsock.com.
Okay. You know, we don't need to have any sort of a virus conversation, but just the picture of doing comedy for people who are spread out 6 feet from one another and far away from the stage sounds like comedy gold.
Especially the state that you hear that we might be going in. That is it for this week, my friends. Star Wars has been ranked.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.